What is your all-time favorite hymn? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin inviting you to vote for your favorite hymn. Send an email with your vote to hymnvote@issuesetc.org, and during the week of August 9th, we'll study the top five hymns chosen by Issues Etc. listeners. Voting ends July 25th. Vote today for your favorite hymn, hymnvote@issuesetc.org. A hymn for any time of the church year is fine. hymnvote@issuesetc.org.
There's a definition of assisted suicide which includes physically assisting, telling people how to do it, merely we're exercising our First Amendment rights, and we have the right to tell anybody anything. And as a matter of fact, what we're talking about and what we're saying has been in print for 30 years in the book Final Exit by Derek Humphrey. So we're not doing anything particularly new or different.
That's Bob Levine, Vice President of Final Exit Network, defending his organization's right to at least invite you to end your own life, your right to die, as they would say. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Thanks for tuning us in on this Wednesday afternoon, July the 21st. We're going to be talking about a new Right to Die billboard campaign in the South. Rita Marker will join us from the International Task Force on Euthanasia and Assisted Suicide, based in Steubenville, Ohio. A little bit later in this hour of Issues Etc., we'll continue our summer series with Dr. Carl Fikencher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, part three of that series on law and gospel. Our call-in number for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E. You can email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or send us a tweet at @issuesetc. Rita Marker is a regular guest and director of the International Task Force on Euthanasia and Assisted Suicide, based in Steubenville, Ohio. Rita, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
First, your response to what Bob Levine had to say there of Final Exit Network, that what they're advocating in this billboard campaign is really nothing new. It's been around for several decades.
Well, actually, he's right that exactly what they're doing is what Derek Humphrey had written about in his book, Final Exit. What he didn't say is that in the book, Final Exit, Derek had also explained that you can assist someone and then be sure and remove all of the evidence, and that Derek himself, along with his wife, Anne, who later became a really good friend of mine, had actually ended her parents' lives. Derek had taken her father into one room, and Anne had taken her mother into the other, and they fed them the overdose, and then when the overdose didn't work, as Anne said, Derek always said, just grab a pillow or a plastic bag and put it over their face. That's what Derek has advocated for years. Final Exit Network has also been advocating this. They're very careful about it. They say it's only information and that their billboard is protected by the First Amendment, which it is. A billboard is protected, but so are racial slurs, and they're not the right thing to do. However, if you think about it, a billboard is meant to advertise something. A billboard is for marketing. They're not marketing just concepts. They're marketing their services, where they send their exit guides, their death squads, I call them, to go where someone perhaps has been depressed. They may be ill. They don't even require that, but it wouldn't make any difference either way. I mean, if you're going to assist someone by, putting a plastic bag over their head, that still, it doesn't make any difference whether they were sick or healthy or what the situation was. They're doing it, and they're promoting it, and they're marketing it, and they're advertising it, and it is truly just compassion is not the word, but that's the one they use, but it's really cruelty wrapped in compassion.
They are calling it, I mean, the advocates of death with dignity or your right to die are calling this the ultimate civil liberty. What do they mean, and how do you respond?
Well, they're trying to make it into a rights or choice argument. And they're making it sound as though this whole discussion about assisted suicide is about a personal choice. It isn't about a personal choice at all. It's about public policy. You know, every year, tragically, 30,000 people in the United States commit suicide. That's far more than the just over 15,000 homicides that there are. So to say that people need help and that it's a right or a choice to commit suicide. That's not what it's about. They're pushing for the idea that a third party, and in their case, people that get trained for a few hours to be exit guides, can actually assist. That would be like saying we're going to train people to stand on the Golden Gate Bridge, and if somebody wants to jump, we can give them a nudge, and that, after all, it's their personal choice. So we're not talking about the person who ends up dead. We're not talking about the personal, private, tragic decision to commit suicide. We're talking about a public policy debate over whether someone else can give that final nudge, be it be by putting a plastic bag over someone's head and removing the evidence afterwards, or giving that nudge off of the top of a building if they're standing there ready to jump, or pushing them over a cliff, or pushing them off the bridge.
I mean, it's a stark picture that you paint there, but is there really any material difference between someone doing what often passes for a death with dignity, between that and someone literally standing on the ledge of a building while the death with dignity people stand inside the room, inside the window, saying, go for it, do it, do it?
Well, and it would be different if you were saying, do it, do it, do it. Still, again, it's tragic and it's emotionally pushing them over. But what the assisted suicide advocates are promoting is the idea of someone not only being able to say do it, but to help them do it by giving them that final push. Think about it this way. I think most people, when they were first learning to swim and they would be at the top of a diving board and they were up there and they decide, no, I'm going to turn around. But then somebody pushed them over, and they would have probably walked back and gotten off that diving board. Now, when you're learning to swim, that's a good thing. When you're jumping off of a bridge or when you're having a plastic bag put over your head and as the final exit people have been charged with and are going to be standing trial for, not only helping put that plastic bag over their head, but then holding their hands, they say, to provide comfort, but also holding their hands down so they can't take the plastic bag off. Now, there's something else that is part of this discussion, and that is that people say, oh, well, that shouldn't be done. We should make this something that doctors would be involved in so that there would be all this careful discussion. You know, it doesn't make any difference if a doctor is doing it. And one of the things that Mr. Levine said yesterday when we were doing the debate on CNN, he said, you don't need a doctor to do this. That's true. You know, you don't need a doctor to know how to kill you, because there are an awful lot of people out there that want to help you kill yourself by putting the plastic bag over your head. And to transform this into a medical treatment is really even more ominous. And that's what's happened in Washington, Oregon, and Montana. And once you transform the crime of assisted suicide into a medical treatment, then it begins to be viewed like all other medical treatments. But there's one thing that is hugely different, and that is once this is considered a medical treatment, it becomes the least expensive medical treatment, the one that insurance companies and government health programs are far more apt to authorize and pay for than they are apt to authorize and pay for the treatment that someone wants. And this is already happening in the state of Oregon. Several years ago, a woman had been given a prescription by her doctor to slow the growth of her cancer and make her more comfortable. And the Oregon Medicaid program, called the Oregon Health Plan, sent her a letter saying they wouldn't pay for that, but they would pay for her assisted suicide. And certainly now, when we're in, you know, everyone has become aware of the push to contain health care costs, if this becomes a medical treatment, then the best way, the most inexpensive way to control health care costs is just to assist a patient's suicide by giving them a deadly overdose or, as Mr. Levine was suggesting, that plastic bag over the head.
Rita, with about a minute and a half here, you alluded to this just a moment ago, but what are some of the current legal, in fact, criminal issues involving Final Exit Network? About a minute and a half.
Okay, the Final Exit Network has been involved in and acknowledges being involved in several hundred deaths. And there was an investigation in the state of Georgia where an agent of the Georgia Bureau of Investigation went undercover, and he was going to get the services of Final Exit. The exit guides explained to him how it would work and explained to him, to get the plastic bag and the helium that would be put in the plastic bag, then explained that they would remove the evidence afterwards and that they would hold his hands, and that because once someone starts to lose consciousness, there is a reaction to remove the plastic bag, that they would hold his hands down. They are being charged with that attempted murder. In another state, a man who had had cancer, but was now cancer-free, but had felt really depressed because of the problems as a result of that. He was going to undergo some reconstructive surgery. Final Exit Network assisted him as well, and he ended up dead. And so they're being charged in both states. They're also being charged with conspiracy, because this is conspiracy to commit a crime. Assisted suicide is a crime. And so no matter how much the people from the Final Exit Network or Compassion and Choices, which is the name of the former Hemlock Society, and Final Exit Network is a spinoff from that, no matter how much they try to use euphemisms like aid in dying or death with dignity or compassion, we're talking about a criminal act. We're talking about changing public policy and making it really convenient and inexpensive to end the lives of people who are really, really in a vulnerable situation.
Rita Marker is director of the International Task Force on Euthanasia and Assisted Suicide, based in Steubenville, Ohio. You can find out more about the International Task Force on Euthanasia and Assisted Suicide. Just go to the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Rita, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
When we come back from this break, we continue our summer series with Dr. Carl Fikencher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Part three of this four-part series today, we're going to be talking, as we have been, about law and gospel, about how you know you're really a Christian. And very often, I think Christians under the mistaken notion that they know they're really a Christian when their lives have been cleaned up. When the things they did before they were a Christian, they don't do anymore. When their lifestyle, their habits, the things they think and say and do on a regular basis every day change. Is that how you know you're a Christian? We'll talk about law and gospel with Dr. Carl Fikencher after this.
Jesus, don't fear the reaper, nor do the wind, the sun, or the rain. He can be like they are. Come on, baby.
Don't fear the reaper.
Baby, take my hand.
Don't fear the reaper.
We'll be able to fly.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most radio talk shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you to pay for the production, salary, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. The address? LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend on you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Calvary Lutheran, Elgin, Illinois. Advent Lutheran, Zionsville, Indiana. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Worth, Texas. Holy Cross Lutheran, Albany, Oregon. St. John's Lutheran, Evanston, Indiana. Mount Calvary Lutheran, San Antonio, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Boise, Idaho. Village Lutheran, Ladue, Missouri. Emmanuel Lutheran, Osceola, Iowa. St. Paul Lutheran, Clarinda, Iowa. Trinity Lutheran, Lebanon, Missouri. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Excelsior Springs, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Cupertino, California. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Freeburg, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, Neenah, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Support, the Issues Etc. 300.